What's good, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land I-70 Football Show. We are back after a week off, a much needed week off, because let's be honest, we didn't have nothing to talk about. But we have something to talk about today. As always, I'm your host, Jordan, and I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. Watching this basketball game. It's which holiday is it?
Memorial Day.
It's a 3-day weekend, Memorial Day. It's a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, I don't know that. I get Labor Day and Memorial Day mixed up all the time. So
I do too. That's why I had to ask.
Yeah, I get it mixed up.
3-day weekend, the sun is out, the thighs were out.
For me, but yeah.
Yeah, no, they were out today. I asked my fiance to grab me some clothes because she was going into the bedroom and she came out. I said, oh, you want me dressed like a whore? That's crazy.
That's wild.
You pick your outfit.
Your own fiance was like, I'm trying to objectify you.
We were just going to the grocery store. Like,
oh, that's nasty behavior. Oh. So,
It's cool. I'm definitely tired of people calling them Hoochie Daddy shorts. Like, that was a good joke for like 5 minutes. I even went into the joke and then they overdid it and now I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm keeping my away this summer. I don't think women deserve to see thighs.
They don't deserve it.
Look here again. Okay, my thing is like I know this is gonna get off the rails, but I'm a big sundress fan. And I haven't seen sundresses in like 3 years. So that's
funny that you say that, because I was talking to my fiance and I was like, women keep posting these pictures saying sundress season and none of them wear sundresses.
None.
Like, I saw this, like there was this post of this woman who was in a long tight maxi dress and she was like, sundress season.
That's not a sundress. It's supposed to be flowy.
You should know it's not.
It's supposed to like, flow.
Why do I know women's fashion better than you?
Right. We can't just give titles to things that aren't that. Yeah. Like, it's, no.
So you're protesting by not.
Yes.
Wearing...
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Taking a stand for what you believe in.
Hey, somebody's got to do it. Bring back sundresses.
I'm weak. All right, so yeah, we're going to get into the show. Like I said, we didn't have nothing to talk about last week, and the Big Ten has been kind of slow. And we want to give good content. We don't just want to be on here talking. Because like if y'all listen to us, you know we can just sit on here and talk. But we want to actually have a topic before we go in a million different ways, because we already don't have no self-control. So we took last week off, but we're back this week, and we are doing coaching rankings, which is for me because it gets to start my campaign of which coaches need fired. Why is Jason Tatum wearing a Kobe wrist? Like, does he always do that?
I don't know if it's ever been purple and had 24 on it, but he does usually wear like an elbow pad like that. But I think that's just for this. And again, look, you were just talking about him bringing up the Mamba mentality thing.
Oh my God. Stop it. Jeez.
Yeah, man. It's funny because I've seen a lot of people say, like, bro, Jason Tatum, just be you. Stop trying to be Kobe. Just be you.
Please.
And he came out in game 7 and was like, I'm going to be Kobe.
All right. Like, I know we talk a lot of trash about Kyrie, but like, Kyrie is the way to be a Kobe disciple. Kyrie doesn't try to be Kobe. He's Kyrie. He just acknowledges how much Kobe means to him. He talks about how he helped him through the playoffs. He talks about how he was one of the first people he called when he won the championship. Like, that's a Kobe disciple. He's Kyrie, but he learned the work ethic, the toughness. Mm-hmm. He went toe-to-toe with Kobe, earned his respect. That's cool. You don't need to talk about that man every 30 seconds, especially when you're not doing what he lived by. Like, oh my gosh.
I don't know how well he's doing this game, but again, he's a leading scorer right now.
But here's what I say.
I lied. It's Jaylen Brown.
Is it? And so my thing is like, when I say not doing what he lived by, like, he's a good basketball player. I'm not saying he's not. I don't think he's top five. I think people need to realize like how few people yet. Top five is. Like they keep trying to put people in the top five, and like there can only be five of them. And let's be honest, everyone in the top five except for Giannis is like 33. Like you don't just give up the top five that quickly. Like,
ooh, hold on. Who's the top five then? If you're saying 33,
Steph, Bron, okay. Giannis,
okay,
KD,
okay.
I don't know if I can put Kawhi because, no, he's not there. So maybe...
He hasn't been in a while. Yeah, he hasn't played in 2 years.
Who is five? It's not AD. Is it Luka? I don't know. Is it Luka? I mean, he did... No, it's Nikola Jokic.
There you go. That's two so, young men. That's two. Yeah.
Okay, so three...
I was scared because I was like, if you say Luka ahead of Joel or the Joker, I'm going to have something to say because I've seen Luka's... Luka, even in the Phoenix series, motor was low and got tired.
Did you see Jason, lucky. You see Jason Kidd low key telling him he was fat and needed to work out. He was like, yeah. You know, now we just need to see. Like, we need to think. It's the off season. What are our goals next year? And then are we going to work in the off season to reach those goals? Hint, don't come back fat.
Yeah, you gotta come. You gotta come ready. You gotta come playoff shape ready to start the season for real.
Literally.
And he gotta run the break more. His game is way too slow. It stifles other players.
He doesn't run at all.
That's true.
Because he's fat.
That's true.
Ooh. And I'm fat, so I can say that. It's not fat shaming if you're fat.
Nah, man. It's just peers talking amongst peers.
So is Joel better than... See, I don't know. I feel like Joel's a better player than Nikola. But like,
really?
Do you take in the awards? Because I think Joel has been like rocking.
I'm not even
the
MVP. I'm not even looking at
Nikola took that team with nobody else to 40 something wins.
He had the exact same amount of wins as Joel Embiid did. And that made
him the 60. I'm confident. Yeah, in the West, that was right. That was right. Yeah, Nikola's five.
I think Nikola's a better scorer and playmaker than Joel Embiid.
You're right.
Joel's just a better defensive player.
You can't even double him. Okay, I'm confident with him at five.
I think the Joker is the best passer in the league right now.
Over LeBron?
Yes.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of Nuggets games where I'm going, where the hell did he see that pass? And I know you can say that with LeBron. Trust me, I get it. I still think it might be.
I don't know if I'm mad at that. You know, I'm not one of them people that's like, oh my God, you have an opinion that's different than mine. You being disrespectful. Like, I hate when you try to like, cause sometimes you compare people and it's not even a negative. Cause people make comparison negative, but like a lot of people are like, oh, you disrespecting LeBron. That's crazy. Like, no, that's not disrespectful.
Cause if you sat there and told me, if you said, I think it's LeBron, I'm not going to be mad at that. I get why. He's a great passer. In my opinion, I think Nikola Jokic is a better passer.
I'm not going to agree or disagree, and it's only because I have not watched enough Nuggets games. But next year, I don't know that I'll remember this conversation, but if I do, I'm going to try to pay more attention to the Nuggets to find out. Because I remember him in last year's playoff, and you literally couldn't double him. So like, I don't think that's crazy to say. I just haven't seen him enough to feel confident either way.
When like people put up like highlight reels of Nikola Jokic, and it could be 3 minutes of him just passing the ball.
Yeah, he is crazy. Like,
it's crazy.
I will tell you that. I think I'd probably have Joel six, probably. But that's the other thing. If I have Joel at six, Jason Tatum not better than Joel. So how are people trying to put him in the top five? I think health matters, right? Health definitely matters.
But is
Jason Tatum better than Kawhi?
No.
Okay, so he's not seven.
And I said it very quickly. I didn't even have to think about it. That's crazy. No. It's funny because sometimes he's not even better than his – in certain games Jaylen or certain Brown. Parts of the – Yeah, he's not better than his running mate sometimes. So
Jaylen Brown
I'll tell you right now, he's not better than Jimmy Butler.
Okay. If he's not better than Jimmy Butler, I got another one for you. Because he's like 24 right now. Is he better than 24-year-old Paul George?
24-year-old Paul George? No.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I think he may be better than Paul George right now, but is he better than the Paul George that was leading Indiana and pushing Miami to the brink?
You say right now, really? Because at a time, bro, he was helping keeping that Clippers team in the mix.
So you don't think he's better than Paul George?
I don't know. I would really have to think that one over. I would really have to. But my thing is, I was going to say maybe he might be older. He might be better than 24-year-old Paul George, but Jason Tatum has always had a better team around him his entire career. Because I was going to say he's played in this might be his third Jaylen Western Brown. Conference or Eastern Conference Finals now. But
he had Jaylen Brown, he had Kyrie, he had what's the white boy that was injured, but when he played he was nice. I think he's on the Hornets now.
Yeah, he is on the Hornets. Kyrie. Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, like Marcus Smart's a good deal. Like he's always had a squad.
You got a defensive player of the year on your team right now. So
like, you've always had a squad, and he's always had a good coach. Like me and you don't think Brad Stevens is as good as people said, because people were trying to say he was better than Spoelstra and stuff like that. Nah. But Brad Stevens was a good coach, so he's always had a good coach too. And now he has Ime Udoka, I apologize for saying his name wrong. I didn't get it.
He was able to turn around the Boston season as he turned them around. I want to say around February. So and they were on the brink of missing the playoffs. But
that's the case. We might not have it. So you said he's not better than Jimmy. We were already.
And I'll tell you right now. I've seen Jimmy Butler give better performances this playoffs than Jason Tatum has. Jason Tatum has one great performance. Jimmy Butler has like five.
All right, but okay, so let's do the math. So we were all
he has two seven. this series. Think about this. Jimmy Butler has outplayed him twice this series.
True. Okay. All right. Because I'm not gonna bring up the Kobe thing again. I'm gonna just leave that alone. So we had Kawhi at seven.
Mm-hmm.
So you said he's not better than Jimmy Butler? I'm not even gonna put
Jimmy. I don't have Kawhi at seven, but you got Kawhi at seven. But that's okay.
If I rethought about it, I may not have him at seven, but he was the seventh player mentioned. So that's seven players we said is better than him. Jimmy makes eight. Paul George makes 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't sure. You think Luka's better?
Yes, I do.
Okay. 9.5.
Okay.
Is that it?
I think that might be it. I think that
puts him borderline top 10, maybe 10, 11.
Yeah, because I think he's better than Devin Booker. I think he's better than Trae Young. I think Trae Young's overrated, but that's me.
Definitely overrated.
That's just me.
Okay, so this is a hard question to answer.
But here's the thing. Because here's the thing. Don't let Ja have another good season.
Anthony Edwards, he's better than Anthony Edwards, but I'm taking Anthony Edwards.
But Anthony Edwards has only been in the league for 2 years, and that's why.
Yeah, so give him a couple more seasons. Okay, here's a tough one. Maybe it's not tough. Maybe it's a quick answer for you.
I don't think he's better than Kyrie either.
I'm talking about just skill, because I would take him over the player I'm going to ask because of injuries. But just skill, is he better than Anthony Davis? I don't think he's better than AD.
You know, this is going to be hard, and I know
because like if you had to put someone on your team, you're taking Jason because AD gets injured too much,
right? But here's my thing.
That's not the question I asked.
People are probably going to take my Lakers card, and I'm not mad at it. Here's the reason why this is a tough one for me, because at least Jason Tatum looks like he wants it.
That's fair.
Anthony Davis looked like he wanted it. One playoff series. Not even the year. Not that year he won it. Just the playoff run. Just the playoff run. He looked like he wanted it. And he hasn't looked like he wanted it ever since.
That's fair.
So that's tough for me. I'm probably still going to say Anthony Davis, but it's
that's
tough.
That's why I had to clarify straight player. Because if you do anything outside, injury, want, discipline, like you do any of the other stuff, you're taking Jason Tatum. Because it's close enough that you would rather have Tatum on your team. But if I'm talking about just pure hooping, who is better?
Ooh, because I don't know because Jason Tatum's a better shooter.
He's a bucket, but Anthony Davis is a good shooter. Anthony Davis has the defense.
That's the only thing he got over Jason Tatum, and I don't know how much longer you can say that because they seem to look like this the exact same height. Jason Tatum's tall as hell, so
yeah. They said he grew again, and he's 6'10".
Yeah, so that's a toughie. That was a good one.
I'm not mad either way, but like if that's the case, that's pushing him to like 13, 14.
Which is fine.
Yeah. But the 14th best player in the NBA at 24, like,
yeah,
that's good. That's good.
It just sucks now because, like, if they do win this game, and it looks like it might be,
they're going to call him a top five player, and they're going to do all this hoopla.
Just for him to lose in five or six games to the Warriors.
Yeah, because Steph is going to put him in a blender, and Draymond's going to be playing games with his mind.
And I think Wiggins might even might outshine him in the finals for real.
Yeah. So let's
because again, Wiggins has had more outstanding playoff games than Jason Tatum has this whole playoff.
It's close for sure. So yeah. I'm gonna make this last remark because it's late when we're recording this, and I know we don't want to be up too late, so we're gonna get off basketball. But you know how I feel about Andrew Wiggins. And you know the conversation we had on our old podcast where I said Andrew Wiggins is a bust for a number one pick. But he is a very good basketball player. And in the right season, as soon as we heard the rumor of the trade, we talked about it. And
I said that Andrew was the best place for him.
Good
that
for
was,
the Warriors.
Yep. That was the best place for him.
And it's right there. If he is your number two, you're good. If he's your number three, you are great. Yes. He's a hooper. And that's the thing. It's like, I get it. He was a number one pick. I don't know if he was overdrafted or that just wasn't a great class. Cause I don't remember exactly.
It wasn't bad to make him the number one pick that year.
Yeah, it was very much like it made sense. It was the 2014 NBA draft. Who came out of that draft? Okay, 2014 NBA. Okay, it's a bunch of busts and Joel Embiid. It's Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Joel Embiid, Aaron Gordon, Dante Exum, Marcus Smart, Julius Randle.
Dante Exum, holy shit.
It was
Dougie McBuckets, wow! Yeah.
Nick Stauskas, Noah Vonleh, Alfred Payton. Oh, man, what the heck?
Tyler Ennis was in this too?
Doug McDermott, Dario Saric, Zach LaVine, TJ Warren. TJ Warren was in the league that long before he had a good season? Oh my God. Adrian Payne, Yusuf Nurkic, James Young, Tyler Ennis, Gary Harris, Bruno something, Mitch McGarry, Jordan Adams, Rodney Hood. Why does Rodney Hood seem
Marcus bad? Smart was in that draft.
Yeah, maybe just because he looks
old. That's crazy. Shabazz Julius Randle was in that draft?
Yeah. Yeah.
Zach LaVine was in that draft?
PJ Harrison, Bogdan Bogdanovich, CJ Wilcox, Kyle Anderson. Let's see if Joe Harris was in that draft.
So was Nikola Jokic, apparently.
Spencer Dinwiddie, Jeremy Grant, Jokic.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Jordan Clarkson. Yeah.
Bogdan Bogdanovic? That's actually hindsight, this draft's not that bad, but
no.
Back then, yeah.
It's two MVP players and Joel and Jokic. Yeah. And then it's a lot of like Wiggins-esque role players, like
quality Joe Harris starters.
Yeah, like quality starters. Yeah,
yeah. But like Dwight Powell, Jordan Clarkson. Wow, sixth man of the year right there.
Yeah, but like it wasn't crazy to take Andrew Wiggins over Jabari Parker or Joel Embiid because people didn't even know if Joel Embiid liked basketball until his fourth season in the league.
Or if he would play, because he didn't play his first 2 years. So
he was injured. Brett was talking
Aaron Gordon was just a dunker. Dante Exum got drafted way too high.
Yeah. Crazy. So
did Julius Randle, if we being honest.
I'm the same. Okay, last question. Are you take? Would you take Wiggins or Zach LaVine?
Still Zach LaVine. Sorry. Oh yeah, wait, I, wait. Well, just like pure him. Player, pure player. Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine could be a number one option. Yeah, I don't think Wiggins has that.
Isn't he essentially the number one option in Chicago?
Yeah, he, the only reason why what's the name was getting those, it seemed like he was being the number one option is because he was hitting his shots more. And yeah. Zach LaVine got DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah,
yeah, that's his name. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so we can move off basketball, but yeah. So Jason Tatum is somewhere between 11 and 16, which is fine. Because being somewhere between 11 and 16, he's probably the best player in his age group.
Like you're a star, just not a superstar.
Yeah. Well, no, because Luka, you said you had Luka over him. So 24 and under, you're top three, 24 and under.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And that immediate once people start to retire, if they ever retire, and you actually hit your prime at 28, that puts you close to top five. Unless there's just some crazy rookies and things like that. Yeah. But you're gonna be in that top five.
You're gonna
top
be competing
for most of
you're
your
gonna
career.
Be compete. Yeah, you're gonna be competing for championships as long as they keep a good enough team around you. You're gonna be competing for championships for the rest of your career. For real.
Yeah.
Until it's like unless you have some crazy injury that's like. Yeah. Increases that decline.
Also, he does have to get props for bullying, not bullying, but for being able to beat Joel Embiid. He stopped Joel Embiid twice, I think. His team's has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think that's a lot to do with Ben Simmons or James Harden being.
Okay, yeah, we're not gonna get into that. You know, I don't disagree, but if we get into that, it's gonna spiral. So we're gonna get into the actual Big Ten, which is what we're here to talk about, and we're gonna rank coaches. And anyone that's listened to this long enough knows that I won't say that I love to say coaches need to get fired, and I won't say I love it because I understand the impact that has on them and their family. I'm just a realist, and I want the Big Ten to be a better conference, and some coaches just aren't getting the job done. And I'm going to say they're not getting the job done, and that's it. I don't relish it because, like, a lot of them have kids, and, like, moving your kids across the country, losing a paycheck.
It's the tone you
give. Which is why I clarified, because my tone is going to say fire him immediately, but I want to clarify now that it's I do think about the person when I say this, but being a good person is not good enough if you're a bad coach. And that's that.
9-point game. Fair enough.
So this is going to be a little weird to follow, but it's going to make it funny. Me and Dante decided to do this, but we did not discuss how we were doing it. And so we came with two totally different rankings. My ranking is who essentially I would want to coach my team, and not even just Ohio State, my team, but just a team that I like in the future. Whereas Dante's is what?
I did based on how they got their team to perform last season. I'm going basically off of last season and what they were able to do.
And I'm going overall, like just kind of their overall career, whether I like them as a person, whether I think they can get a lot. So some of our rankings are going to be wild, but it's going to be fun. And I'm going to try to remember that when Dante says some wild stuff. We argued about this for 10 minutes before the show started. So I'm going to try to remember that we're doing this differently because So let's start. You can go first. We're going to start at 14 and work our way up.
All right. So I'm probably going to pronounce these names wrong because I'm kind of an idiot. But we're going 1-1, starting at 1 or 14. Or worse? Starting at 14? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Number 14, Scott Frost.
Yes, fire immediately.
That's one thing we both agree on the entire year. Scott Frost is an awful coach. Just bad.
Yeah. Just not that guy.
Not good at all. And it's not even like just past year, back last year, because if we're going strictly, I'll give you this. All right. Scott Frost's 14 is based off of last year and his overall coaching career. That's pretty much the only one. That's the only one I think I did that. Because if I was doing basically last year, it would have been Tom Allen. Let's be clear, because Indiana was awful. But and just like Indiana, Nebraska should have been better, and they just weren't. They just were not. And he continues to do that. Like, for some odd reason. And they keep paying this man.
Literally, you can't tell me someone's a good coach when in their four seasons they've not even that they haven't made a bowl game. They haven't sniffed one. He hasn't had five wins. His fans literally can't even be like, oh, if one game, if one play, if one ref call went different, we would have been in a bowl game. Nah, because you had two wins. You needed a lot more than one thing to go right.
My other thing, and I'm sorry to cut you off there, but another thing that really blows my mind is when I've watched a few Nebraska games, they be in the game, and then something stupid happens. And that's a coaching thing. Yeah, that's a coaching thing. Because if you were a good coach, you would stop stupid things from happening that would cost you the game.
And to that point, you want to know another way I know you're not a good coach? No good coach lets his team, his players, his boosters, you can't control fans, but you can control the media. You can say certain things. No team, no good coach lets his team, players, boosters, etc. say, oh, we're the best 3-9 team in the country. Moral victories? You're doing moral victories now?
That is what that is.
You're happy because you were close?
We're the best 3-9 team in the country. Congrats, I guess.
Whoop-de-doo. If Ryan Day would have came out and said we're the best 10-2 team in the country, fire. I'd have been at the Woody. I'd have been at the Woody protesting. Like, bro, get him out of here.
Go. Even if it is true, shut up. Don't ever say that. It reminds me of the Lakers when they're like, we're gonna turn it around. Shut up.
And I feel like that culture permeates where your team is okay with being close. You're okay with being close.
It's a loser mentality. Yeah. It is.
So no. Scott Frost is 14. And I also just for fun, this article came out May 18th, but it is not my article, so I don't know if everything is exactly accurate. But I also got coaching salaries, just to point in. So he's a losing coach and making $5 million a year.
Man, must be nice.
That is in the top half of Big Ten coaches.
It is. It sure is.
Yeah. There's definitely a gap between some of them, but most of them you'll see make four or under. He's in the top half.
If I was Mike, I'd be a little pissed right now because I'm looking at the number you're saying here.
He's the fifth or sixth highest paid coach in the Big Ten. And the guy that he's tied with has a much better record and career. And they make the same
amount. He's tied for six, That's crazy.
So 13. I'll go first. My 13 is Mike Locksley. And here's the thing. People are going to think I'm crazy about this. Uh-huh. But I think people are disrespecting Maryland by being happy with his poor accomplishments.
Okay.
Not that Maryland is ever going to be a great program, but Maryland was a better program and a worse division. There's also a stupid amount of talent in the DMV. And the thing is,
he has recruited
a lot of that talent. He always gets 5 stars and then they transfer. So there's something that he's doing. He gets them like every single year. Like he's had 5-star wide receivers. Last year he had 1 or 2 5-star linebackers. They both transferred this past offseason as freshmen. Like they only stayed for a season. Like, so you can kind of recruit. You worked in the Nick Saban coaching rehabilitation program. Not that that guarantees you to be a good coach, but you did work at Bama.
Actually, it almost guarantees you to be a
Yeah. Or
am I getting that mixed up with what's his name?
No, Nick Saban's coaches are good typically. They just can't beat him.
All right, I'm getting him mixed up with New England's coach.
Being on the Bill garbage.
You're probably gonna suck.
Because Nick Saban has a lot. I mean, the Texas A&M coach is on the Nick Saban tree. So is the Georgia coach. And those are really good coaches. Lane Kiffin worked under Nick Saban.
He's a good coach.
He's typical. Mel Tucker worked under Nick Saban.
True.
Nick Saban's coaches typically do pretty good. But yeah,
as long as you don't try to go and play him again.
exactly. Which is why people thought Laxley was going to be better because, you know, whatever. But my thing is just like, you have the player who talent-wise should be the best quarterback, the second best quarterback in the Big Ten. You have five stars. You have underrated talent in the DMV. You also can get New Jersey, New York, that kind of stuff, Philly. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just don't think he's a good coach. Like, you're always borderline on if you make a bowl game or not. Like, they went into the game last season needing to beat Rutgers to make it to the bowl game.
And I think they lost that game, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like Rutgers lost. I think Maryland. Hold on. I don't remember. I'm gonna have to Google it. I don't remember. No, I think they did win because I think they played Virginia Tech. Yeah, they blew Rutgers out, and then they blew out Virginia Tech. Tallulah had a crazy game, and that's what I'm talking about. They have, like, there has literally been times when they were in shootouts with Ohio State, and I get that, but my thing, and maybe I'm being a little harsh, right? But I think that Maryland should be a better program. I'm not saying they should be competing for the Big Ten. I'm saying Maryland should be guaranteed a bowl game. Like, when you look at Maryland, especially including, like, the bye games when they get to play
us.
Yeah, when they get to play the Kent. I was trying to think. When they get to play MAC schools and things like that, Maryland should be guaranteed 6 wins. Like, they should wake up 6 wins, low bowl game, and that's fine. Like, five or four wins should be a bad season. And we're still under his tenure surprised or happy when he gets to 6 and makes a bowl game.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm looking at the schedule and I can understand the surprise that they made a bowl game. While I'm looking, because I'm – it's pretty tough one. It was a pretty tough road to get to 6 wins for them this past year.
Was it – I mean, they had – okay, so they had – West Virginia, who is on their level. Maryland should be better than West Virginia. They have access to more talent. Mm-hmm. Howard, Illinois, Kent State. That's four wins right there. So you only needed two more. They played Iowa, fine. Ohio State, fine. Minnesota. So, no. Minnesota's Indiana, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan. Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, they did win every game they're supposed to win.
No, to win.
while I'm mad at them, they definitely won every game.
Did exactly what he was supposed to do.
That's fine. But also, and being fair, because I'm not changing my ranking, I looked at the overall thing.
Right, and of course. Yep.
The coaches ahead of him have had, all of them except maybe one or two, and I just kind of believe in them more, have had good seasons. Like, I'm just, like, I don't want to steal the thunder, so I'm just not going to say his name until after you go. But the coach who I have right above him actually had a really, really, at least one really, really good season. So for me, when I'm looking at it, it's like he's at least shown it. So,
like, he could probably do it. Like, this might have been a fluke type of year for them.
And for Maryland, this could have been a fluke type of work because literally they won every single game they were supposed to win.
True.
Are they going to do that again next year? Probably not. Which means they're going to win like four games. So I'm still fine with him where he's at. Yeah. Who's your 13?
My 13 is Tom Allen. and again, it's going off of what they did last year. And honestly, Tom Allen and Scott Frost could easily be 14 together. If I'm being honest.
Especially off of last year.
Yeah, trash A and trash B, for real. But Tom Allen, I mean, to get what, one? I think they had one win, maybe two if they did. And I don't even think they did. And again, it's the same thing I said about Scott Frost, is that there were games they were in, and they did something stupid to definitely lose it. I think Indiana lost to Nebraska. And that itself, I still should have had probably put Tom Allen behind. But it's just, I think Scott Frost is just the worst coach. I truly think that Scott Frost could have easily won 0 games last year.
Yeah, and to the point.
So that's why I have Tom Allen at 13.
And I'm not mad at that because, like I said, because he's actually my 12th coach. He's at least done it once. Like mm-hmm. First of all, I think he's been to more than one bowl game, but he at least had one really good season. And I'm not convinced that Scott Frost is ever going to have a good season. And I understand people like people are going to be like, yeah, but you said you were looking at the whole thing and he had a good season at UCF or UF or whichever one he was at. That was clearly a fraud. Like, and winning at that program, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but winning at that program kind of means nothing because everyone wins at that program because they're so built up now that they're all, as long as you're not the worst coach in the world, they're always going to have a decent roster.
Yo, I'm not going to lie to you. I might have to flip my 13 and 14. They lost to Idaho. Indiana lost to Idaho. Badly. Oh, wait, I lied. They beat Idaho badly. I can't read. Okay. I told you I'm kind of an idiot. So, but yeah, they only have two wins this whole year, and it's the out-of-conference. The terrible schools. You got Western Kentucky and Idaho. Those are your two wins.
So proud. So proud.
That's just nasty. I mean, getting blown out by Rutgers 38-3 is crazy.
Yeah, that's sick work.
That's crazy. Purdue put a mud hole in you. Like, Ohio State, should have beat you, but you should have got more than just 7 points. You got one TD, and it probably was an accident. It probably came late in the game.
It did.
See? It did. So they really beat them 54-0. Like,
yes, essentially, for what it's worth.
Ugh. The only nice game they got here is Maryland, which is like, probably should have won that game, and you did something to lose it. Michigan State, you probably should have won that game, but you did something to lose it because it's 20-15. Even Michigan State,
Indiana was close to Cincinnati for a little bit too, where it almost mm-hmm. felt like they could have upset them if I remember.
Yeah, correctly. And then Cincinnati went on a tear. I think that is
how and they lost 8 straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gross. Gross.
Just disgusting. And a lot of blowouts, like 38-3, 44-7, 54-0, because we said it was zero. I'm going to even think that 29-7 was probably 29-0. You lost to Penn State 24-0 legitimately. Like, honestly, if I didn't have a bias against Scott Frost being that terrible, you would have been 14, Tom. You would have been 14. Thanks, Scott Frost, for being worse.
And so he's my 12. I have nothing to add. I think you said it perfectly. Again, the only reason he's 12 and not 13 or 14 is that one good year. Mm-hmm. Because he's done it. He's done it and the other two haven't. So for me, that's fine. But again, I'm looking at overall and you're looking at last year. So that's fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Who's so your 12? My 12 is Pat Fitzgerald. I completely forgot Northwestern was even playing football last year.
Because were they?
Exactly.
They won one game. I don't think they played football.
And that's the problem. And again, these three, honestly, if you flip these three in my list, you got to keep them the last three. But if you flip them around, okay. Honestly, okay. And that's the one thing. Again,
Northwestern won 3 games last year. Only 1 games. Game in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and the thing is like, if we're even going off of your criteria, I think you got him too high. If we're going for your criteria, because he does this. One good year, terrible, terrible. One good year, terrible, terrible. And you're so consistently inconsistent, I wouldn't want you as my coach ever. For real.
Yeah. So, you're right. I did tell you that I messed up my list on mm-hmm. how I was like doing things because I got it mixed up. Yeah, you're right. Let me change this. I'm glad you
guys. You wouldn't even want to know where he had him. You don't want to know.
Do I want him here? Do I want him? I'm gonna give him a little bit of credit with that post NFL, and he's a little younger. I'm gonna put him here. Good looking out, because I would have said that and been like, ugh.
Because I had to. I had to go look at Jalen Smith. Hey, Pat Fitzgerald, very inconsistent, bro.
Yeah. I might be changing all these numbers, but yeah, you know what? Okay, so I forgot to say it. Mike Loxley's making $2.5 million. He deserves that. Also, Maryland is never going to be a serious football program paying their coach $2.5 million. Not saying he deserves one, but when they fire him, the next coach needs to make it six at least. Like, you're not going to get a serious coach making
$2.5 million, and the next coach probably won't take much less because he's going to look at what everybody's getting in the Big Ten. Right. And he's going to want around that same number. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Tom Allen made 4.26.
And won one game, man. I almost would have fired you immediately. Or two games. Like, I would have got rid of you quickly. Like, so quick. You beat Idaho and Western Kentucky, and that's it? Like, you couldn't beat Iowa? Like that's what I would have said. Like, you really couldn't beat Rutgers, bro. You're fired. You're fired.
That's hilarious. That's really funny. So, I don't know. I'm going to let you finish what you have to say about him. I'll talk about him when I get to him in my list, because I don't want to make it too confusing for the people that's listening. But again, based on your list, totally understand. Yeah. And I'm glad you said something so I could change him on mine, because I definitely did have him a little too high based on the
list. A little too high. I think you might still. No, you're right. No, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. No, I'm looking at it. No, you're good. You're good. That's good. Yeah,
it looks weird. I ain't changed my numbers yet, but yeah, it looks.
Yeah, you're right. I have it now.
I will say this: the coach I have, I'll say his name because he's my next coach.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Ferentz is my 11. We're at 11, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I have him lower than Pat because Kirk will not fire his son, and that nepotism stuff is not rocking, bro. And he's like 80. I can't do it. And he's racist. And he's racist, which really should have him at 14. And if he's not racist, which he probably is, he let his strength coach be racist. Like that whole you can just cloud over that for me.
They're talking about
you can't listen. You can't do certain things. You can't wear hoodies. He's talking bad on tattoos, and like your strength coach sets your culture. And again, unless I'm assuming you're an idiot,
white boys love tattoos. Right?
True, but maybe not in Iowa. Unless white boys in Ohio love tattoos. Unless I'm assuming you're an idiot, right? Unless I'm assuming you're an idiot, as the head coach, do you not approve the culture that your strength coach sets?
That's true. That's a good point.
Players really do like him, right? And they really went to bat for him when they put up the strength coach. They said, it's not Kirk. It's just the strength coach. And that's fine because you like him as a person. But from the outside looking in, as the CEO of that company, you telling me somebody's doing something and you don't know about it?
Because how long was that strength coach there?
Years. Because he doesn't fire nobody. 5, 10, 15. It's been a while.
I don't know if you can't not know.
I'm not Boo Boo the Fool. I'm not stupid.
Yeah, like, I wasn't born yesterday.
You can't tell me that you, the CEO, don't know the culture that's being set underneath you.
I'm
not really, really trying to get into all that, but just like old boy at Penn State, can't say he didn't know what bro was doing. You can't say
That was different. That was different because he definitely, people forget, he went. He went to the president and their like sports chairman. I forgot what they're called. I haven't been in school in so long, but he went up to him and told him that he was doing that, and they kind of brushed it aside.
Did he?
I do. Yeah. That was a lot of that part gets brushed over. Yeah,
I forgot about that.
He said something to the NCAA too. Yes, okay, all right,
that's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy.
If I remember correctly,
we don't need to relitigate that, but I'm just saying, you can't tell me the man up
Penn State killed Joe Paterno. Yeah, wow.
Oh my god, wow. So Kirkfest, and again, right? I know people are gonna say crazy, you stupid, this, that, and the third. But this is my list of who I want to coach my team. I don't want an old racist white man coaching my team. Just being honest, I don't want someone who can't fire people. I don't want someone who only hires friends. I don't want someone whose offense was literally his offense wouldn't have been good in 1920. Stop playing with me. You can't coach my team. Like you just can't. Yeah. I don't care about the defense stuff. There are other good defensive coaches in the nation, bro. I can find somebody else. I don't want that. I don't. So, 11.
Man, you got me rethinking, Kurt. I'm gonna keep him where I'm at because you brought up the defensive thing. We're gonna get there when I get to my number. But you got me thinking. You got me thinking. I'm not gonna lie.
But George is also based on how they performed last year, and he did a good job last year. So it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. My 11 is James Franklin, and here is why I have a James Franklin that low, because. Cause you convinced me. You convinced me.
I'm glad you listened.
Mm-hmm. Penn State underperformed last year. I get they did have a lot of injuries, and I'm not going to ignore that. I'm not. But they underperformed last year. Penn State should have been Michigan State last year, if we're being honest. And they
at a minimum.
Yeah, and they underperformed. The loss to Illinois. I think that's who that was. Yeah, the loss to Illinois wasn't a good look. You lost to Purdue, I believe, when you were ranked. If not, you did lose to Purdue, if I'm not mistaken. And that wasn't a good look. So,
And while you're looking that up, I'm going to be completely honest here because I try to get out of my fan bag. I don't want people to think I'm just a fan. Yeah. They should have beat Ohio State. Not winning that game is a stain because they should have beat Ohio State.
Here's the thing. They also should have beat Michigan State. They should have beat Michigan State because that's a 27-30
game. That was a close game too. Yeah.
In that Ohio State game the whole time until that fumble. It really was that fumble that got Ohio State that win. But you should have won that game. You should have beat Illinois. There's three wins right there. That's three.
Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So if we went back to my tweets that night, because I'd be doing some wild stuff. Because I'd be in my feelings. Dante has seen me watching Ohio State game. It's not a good experience. This is why
it's funny too. I promise you. If you watch Jordan's tweets or watch him watch the game, you think Ohio State getting blown out. They blowing the team out. And he be sick. He be disgusted. And I'm like, are you okay? What's wrong?
No, I'm a sicko. This is why I watch football games alone. There's a reason. Like, Dante knows.
You even lost your bowl game. Yeah.
Dante can speak for this. I have people over at my house all the time. I like hosting. We just had people over on Friday. Dante over for an Ohio State game. Like, we can watch the Alabama game. We can watch the Georgia. We can do all these other things.
Any MMA fight?
Ohio State game. Yeah, be good.
But I don't even want to know what you do during Indianapolis games. I don't want to see you there in cult games.
NFL is so stupid. It is so stupid. I'm yelling at my TV. I'm going crazy. Yeah, so, Penn State should have won that Ohio State game. So I totally understand having James Franklin there. Penn State has underperformed for two or three straight years.
Yeah.
And I'm really concerned. I'm not convinced they're going to be good this year because they're bringing back Sean Clifford. Like, when we get to August and we start previewing teams, I'm going to have some really strong words for Penn State because I'm going to just say it here. I think Sean – okay. Let me not say that. Because I don't think James Franklin has the stones. I think – a different coach would bench Sean Clifford before the season.
I wouldn't have allowed him to come back, bro. It's okay.
But I'm saying even though he comes back this season, I think he should be benched for their freshman.
Yeah. Because you need something new there. You need something refreshing there.
I was listening to the Penn State writer talk, and she was basically saying, y'all forget that it's not just that Sean Clifford wanted to come back. Penn State wanted him back.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, that's a problem, then. That's a problem.
You know what I would have said? Thank you for everything you've done, but you have your degree. Yeah. You still have eligibility. If you want to take that eligibility somewhere else. Respect that, but you have your Penn State degree. Thank you. And that'd be it. Because I'm pretty sure you don't have to keep people on scholarship no more after they graduate.
No, because you're
choosing to keep them on scholarship in their master's program. You, once they graduate, you've met the contract of their scholarship.
Yeah.
Good job. Thank you for what you've done.
That's time to move on.
It's time to go. I would have done what Nebraska, as much crap as we talked about with Nebraska, I would have done what they did with Adrian Martinez.
True.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you choose to continue to play college football, that's up to you.
Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. And when I finally gave in. You were completely right about Penn State, and that, a lot of that had to do with coaching, because there are games that they definitely should have won and they just didn't, and that's a problem. Especially that Illinois game, and that's why when we get to him, it's why.
Listen. All right, so we're at 10.
Yeah.
All right. So my 10 is Pat Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care for Pat Fitzgerald. A lot of people say he's one of the best coaches in the country and da 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 da. My thing is, are you a good coach if it takes you 3 years to have a good team? Like, if you need all juniors.
And then it's that 1 year. Coach? Yeah.
And then you have that good year, and then that's it?
That's it. You got to start it all over again.
Personally, he's not the first person on my list I would fire, but I would fire him.
At some point.
You can't do that. Like, you just can't. Like, especially, again, maybe it's a little different if they didn't have divisions, but they have divisions. The West sucks. You can't consistently compete in the West.
I'm not mad at that. And then not only that, it's just like where you got Indiana winning two games and Nebraska winning three, and then for some odd reason I completely forgot you even existed. Yeah. Somehow you're doing worse than team in my eyes that I forgot you even exist.
And I don't follow recruiting all crazy, all that kind of stuff. If it's not Ohio State, like, I'm kind of interested, but I just, like, I'm 27. I don't want to be thinking about 16-year-olds. That's weird. And I work with 18-year-olds at work because I work at a college. Like, I just can't. He's one of the worst recruiters in the Big Ten. He's almost always last. And while I recognize that Chicago is a basketball city, there are good football players in Chicago. Why are you being out-recruited by Bloomington, Indiana? Why are you being out-recruited by Nebraska? Why are you being out-recruited by some of these teams? So you don't want to recruit. You don't try to recruit. And you're only good once every 3 years? No.
Also, where you got teams where I'm thinking, like, I'm talking about Illinois making a come up. I'm talking about Rutgers and Maryland maybe turning their program around and making a come up here. And not once did we bring up Northwestern.
Mm-mm. And here's the thing. People are saying, they're like, oh, Northwestern's going to be better next year. Just because it's the cycle. Because it's the cycle. They think it's going to be a good year.
Probably. But
it's not because their older players aren't good right now.
Mm.
Like, they have one guy, and he's an offensive lineman, and we all know that offensive linemen don't do that much for you. That's going to be high projected for the draft. Cool. I love offensive linemen. That's great. But, like,
they do that. They develop them.
Right. One good offensive lineman is not going to make you win the Big Ten. Who's your quarterback? Who are your wide receivers? Your best safety transferred to Notre Dame.
Well, there's a black coach there now, so I was about to say Notre Dame, gross, but
your best player went to Notre Dame. What are you doing? So, no, I don't want him coaching my team. Who's your 10?
My 10 is Mike Lockskey. That is ridiculous, man.
It's exactly as it's spelled. It's Locks.
Locksley. Yeah. That is. Oh, that hurt. No disrespect whatsoever. It just hurt to get out, like, because I wanted to get it right, and it was a struggle. Like, it truly hurt. But I say Mike is my 10. I think Maryland did well. They made it to a bowl game. And I know you brought up, like, that shouldn't be that impressive. Like, we shouldn't be that impressed with that. But again, we just went over their record, and they won every game they were supposed to. Yeah. They won every game they could. And there were times where they were putting up 50 something points, and it doesn't matter who you're going against. 50 points in a football game is 50 points in a football game. Like, yeah, that's impressive. That's a lot of points. That's impressive. I do think they can be better, and I don't know if it's coaching or recruiting or something like that. But I do
it's coaching.
I do think they can be better, but I don't think they were that bad. And I don't think he's that bad of a coach. He's been there since 2016.
Yeah,
that's 6 years. That's not it's that long.
6 years already.
It's going on 6 years because 2012 would be six. It's 2022 this year.
It's long when other people fire their coaches after two or three. And I am not advocating for firing after two or three. I think you need four or five to know if someone's really like that. But again, I would
four or five. Them. Yeah, like four or five bring you got your culture you done in set in the school.
Years. And I would have given him a couple extra years because he came off of that coach killing that kid. Recipes to him, thoughts to his family.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I would have given him a couple extra years because he really started from the bottom, which is why I'm not screaming for him to be fired. But if he does not have a good season this year, he's added on my fireable list because that's six seasons is enough to heal, fix some cultures, get your guy in, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And this is going to be the last year of that quarterback. And I think he's underdeveloped the quarterback. And I don't even know who the backup is going to be. So, but yeah, I mean, I think where you have him, that's fine, especially for how you're doing your list.
Mm-hmm. I think he brought out enough talent to do what they were supposed to. But I do think a lot of the teams they went up against just had much more talented teams. I would like a lot less blowouts. I think if you lose those games but you don't get blown out, I would have him like 7-8, something like that. But you're getting blown out, so there's that.
It's crazy. He's getting blown out or they're blowing out somebody. There's like no in between.
There's no in between.
They don't really play close.
And games, besides your Big Ten win, your two of their three Big Ten wins are just by 3 points. Everybody else they blew out when they won,
including the bowl game.
Yes. Which, again, you won your bowl game, so there's that too.
They put up 50, what, two or three times? I know it was two for sure, but it may have been three. Because they put up 50 in the bowl game, and they put up 50 in a game earlier in the season. And then they put up 40 against Rutgers.
They put up 50. Oh, my goodness. Michigan put up 50 on them. Michigan almost put up 60. My God.
But
that Ohio State did.
But that speaks to your point of why all these games blowouts.
Because you beat Indiana, which was a terrible team, but you only beat them by three. You should have blew them out.
Ugh, that's ugly.
You beat Illinois only by three. Like, they put up 62 against Howard. And then they put up 59. They put up 54 against Virginia Tech.
And then they put up 40 against Rutgers.
Yeah. And then everything else. I mean, you got blown out by Michigan State. 40-21, that's a blowout for real in football. Penn State blew you out. Minnesota blew you out. If they were closer games, he would have been higher up on the list. It was like, sometimes you're like, where's your pride? Where I used to say that all the time, like, where's your pride?
Like, literally. Like, where's the pride? All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come out, and we're going to do our top nine, because we're already at 10. We're going to do our top nine when we come back from a quick break. What's good, everyone? Welcome back to the I-70 Football Show, where we are ranking Big Ten coaches in the most unconventional way possible, because we both have different reasons for our rankings, which is just making this confusing. But if you are listening, thanks. Like, I'm glad. I hope you're following along and things are making sense. We're gonna get better in the season. We're gonna be on the same page, I promise.
Oh yeah.
So we're at 9, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So our 9s are the same. Greg Schiano. Fine. Mm-hmm. But also, so for me, I think Greg Schiano's a good coach. I think he's done some things. He was really good for Ohio State's defense. He was good for Rutgers in the past. I think he had Rutgers ahead of schedule. I mean, they got blown out by Maryland, so that's unfortunate. But they were in a winner-take-all game to get to a bowl game. So,
And then it still was gifted one. I think it was an unfair bowl game they were gifted. But they were gifted a bowl game.
And they were never going to beat that win that one because it was way above their station. So but again, when I said about the bowl game, is it's really proof of concept. Rutgers is a couple years away. And the reason why I'm harder on Mike Locksley than I am on Greg Schiano is because Mike Locksley's been doing it for like 4 years longer.
Yep.
Like, watch what Rutgers looks like in Greg Schiano's sixth year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, he's not the first coach I want on my team, but 9, I think, is a good spot for him. And I do genuinely think he's a good coach.
Yeah, because my thing is I'm looking at this as like, remember when I said that Maryland should have blew out Indiana? Rutgers did.
Yeah.
Rutgers did.
Yeah.
You beat Illinois. There's still a lot of blowouts here, and I'm not mad at it. But then you gave Michigan a scare,
and that's really what you want in that position. You want them to fight. You want them to do what they're supposed to do, and you want them to show up sometimes when they're not supposed to. And you can look at. I think last year was a success for them.
There's some good you can get from there. That from last year, than from things like Mike and even Pat. And even when you lost to Northwestern, but I think next year they blow out Northwestern if they have to play them.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Let me see if they do.
And so I think, again, my thing is look at what Rutgers is going to be in Greg Schiano's sixth season.
Yeah. I think Rutgers has a better ceiling, and I think just because of he's a better coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our 8s are different. My 8 is
a long shot.
My 8 is. I wonder if I could change these. No, I'm fine with this. I'm fine with this. My 8 is Jeff Brohm. I think Jeff Brohm's a good coach. I don't necessarily want him on my team again because that's how I'm looking at this. Largely because I'm not even sure he knows how to develop a defense or a running game.
That's fair. That is fair. I'll give you that. That is fair.
But I will say this, he is coaching way above his station.
Oh, yes.
Purdue.
Oh, yes.
Purdue is one of the hardest jobs in the country, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, I think 8 out of 14 is good. I don't think he's one of the best coaches, but he's towards the upper half. I'm very fine with that. He is going to have a tough job. He needs to figure out a running game. He needs to figure out his defense without George Karloftis. So maybe they only win 5 or 6 games this year. But even, having Purdue in the point where they can win 9 games, like, that's a great season. So I don't have much to say about Jeff Brohm. Essentially, I'm not sure how complete a coach he is, which is why he's not higher on my list, which is why I'm not sure that I want him coaching my team because I don't know if he can develop a running game. And I'm just not sure. But he has good wide receivers. I mean, David Bell is great. Rondale Moore before that. And he has another guy who's coming up that seems to be really good, had 200-something yards in the last game of their season in their bowl game. He's a good coach. I think 8's a good spot for him. But I'm not, like, fighting to have him on my team.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. My number 8 is Paul Chryst. And that's basically the reason why I have him right around there is because the turnaround they had to finish the season, 7 straight, I believe, to get to 8 wins, if I'm not mistaken.
Like that, yeah.
So
he was 9. I wasn't. Maybe it was 9. Oh wait, I have it. I pulled up the Big Ten standing, so we didn't have to doing this.
Yeah, because I honestly keep doing it. So
yeah, they went 9-4.
9-4. So you went you rattled off 7 straight after going 1-3. You won 9 games. Whereas remember at one point during the season while we were doing this podcast, we were scared for Wisconsin. Like we were really concerned. And after each week, you're just going, it looks like Wisconsin's going to win the West again. Like after a while, it's like, it looks like they're just going to. Sorry, Iowa. Sorry, Minnesota. Like you did really well, but it looks like it's going to be Wisconsin again. They didn't win it, but that's more of a test. That's a testament that he was able to turn them around and win enough games to be in the hunt for that.
And honestly, for that part. The only reason they didn't win the West is because a coach who is, I'm not going to tell you where, but is high on both of our list.
Yes.
Beat them finally. Minnesota beat Wisconsin. They beat them straight up. So that's not really a negative on Wisconsin. Minnesota just like PJ Fleck had Minnesota ready to play. Yep. And if they win that game, they win the West. And they didn't. And sometimes you lose. So like I'm not mad at that because that's more I give more props to Minnesota for that win than I'd give negative for Wisconsin for losing it. Minnesota was ready to play and they were tired of losing to their rival. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, not me neither. That's why I have Paul Chris there. I don't have much else for that. It's just that it was a great turnaround for them. And, you know, I think he's also a solid coach regardless. I think he's one of the one coaches in the Big Ten that I probably wouldn't be rushing to fire out of this list.
Right, and that's why he is where he's at on my list.
Mm-hmm. So that's how where I got him. That's my 8, right? We're doing 8.
Yep. So my 7 is Jim Harbaugh. Mm. I think I'm going to be clear here. Mm-hmm. I think Jim Harbaugh is better than the 7th best coach in the Big Ten.
Okay.
But again, my list is who I want on my team. And this is not even just because he's at Michigan. He's too gimmicky for me. I don't like that. Like the whole and it just feels like when his gimmick dies, his teams die. He struggles to win the big games. He did it last year. Great. But you've been in the Big Ten for a while. You didn't win the big games when you had Andrew Luck at Stanford. You did bring a good point. He did have that NFL run, and those are all big games in the playoffs. So he's shown that he can do it occasionally, but he doesn't do it consistently. He struggles to beat Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State at the Big Ten, and he has like one bowl game win or something like that in his like 6 or 7 years. So I think he's a really good coach, but I don't – He has succeeded at every level. And we talked about this last year. He's one of the few coaches who has succeeded both in college and NFL. He is a good coach. But
I do think he's a better NFL coach, though.
I do too. But, like, there's reports of him wearing cleats in people's houses.
Yeah,
like,
that's insane. Flirting,
the oddly flirting with the NFL and like just how that whole thing went.
There's a lot of optics and narratives about him that throws you off. Yeah,
and I wouldn't want to deal with that. If we were talking pure coaching, he'd probably be in my top 3. Maybe he'd maybe be 2 potentially.
Yeah,
but from again how I'm looking at it, who I want on my team, his coaching has him at 7 because his personality has him at like 10. To be completely honest.
Yeah.
Like the other things that come with him has him lower for me, but he is such a good coach. Typically, that gave him a couple of boosts because I do think he's a better coach than some of these other coaches, that even coaches that I have ahead of him, I just couldn't deal with him. We would I'm not a violent person. Like, I have been. I protect people. Me and him would fight. Like, we would not get along so much.
It'd be hard for me to. Like, especially if I was a freshman and sophomore, it'd be hard for me to be a player under him for a minute. Yeah, unless I really got it. If, like, I just really understood him, then it probably wouldn't be. But, like, most people, it's a little difficult. And now I can see why he's struggled in the big games in college so far. He only has one bowl win. It's because it seems to be really off the follow behind him as a coach.
And I don't think he gets the best out of his players.
Yeah,
and you could argue, because people have, that last year only happened not because of him, but because Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator, who left, by the way, left that job for Miami, got the best out of the offense, and the defensive coordinator, who left, by the way, to go to the Ravens, got the best out of the defense.
Yeah.
If you rank the most important people for Michigan seasons last year, where's Jim Harbaugh? Because the top two are the two defensive ends. It's Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. Three is probably the running back, right? Or it's one of the coaches somewhere, but the running back's up there, Hassan Haskins. Then you have to do offense and defensive coordinator. That's five. Maybe you put the quarterback at six, and then maybe you have Harbaugh at seven. But then, like,
because I would say I would have Jim in front of the quarterback because Jim probably got him to play that well.
But that's fine. That's, have? But then so maybe he's at six. But what about the safety Dax Hill, who went in the first round to the Bengals? Do you have him over that? So like Jim is somewhere between six and eight as important for what happened in their season last year. But again, ultimately, I think he's a really good coach. But his gimmicks, his personality, some of the other things about him, I could not hire him.
I can see why he could rub a lot of people the wrong way. And I'm not going to be mad if you tell me that he does. But yeah, my number seven is Kirk Ferentz.
It's Ferentz.
Ferentz. Okay. Sorry, Kirk. Kirk Ferentz. I have him at seven, and again, mine is based off, like, if I was doing how you did it, he'd probably be 14, because I do believe he's probably racist. He probably is. And then it'd be Scott. Again, I would have him, like, it'd be Scott Frost and then be fighting for who's the most trash. But I have him because
who's the most trash.
Right, but Iowa won the West. You played in the Big Ten Championship. You got spanked. Yep. And that's the one thing about it is that he probably would have been higher if he didn't get spanked in that Big Ten game, because your whole thing was with your whole team pretty much all year was your defense. And while you had one of the worst offenses I've ever watched with my four eyes, because guys, I wear glasses. So it was one of the worst offenses I've ever seen. But he had one of the best defenses in the country, and they could turn that ball over. And that's the one thing I'll give to you. You had a good defense that could hand your offense the ball in scoring situations, but you couldn't capitalize on it. And so it was it downplayed it. Your offense hurt your defense, and it usually should be the other way around if you're going to do it. But I can't deny where I think they had maybe 20-something turnovers for the season.
Something crazy.
Yeah, I can't ignore that. And you were able, and again, with that terrible offense, you were still able to win the West and play in the Big Ten. So you brought a lot. You brought a lot of talent, a lot of hard work out of that team. I do think maybe another coach probably would have got more, but I didn't have that much faith in Iowa to begin with. I didn't think it would be bad, but I didn't think they'd be playing in a Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, and I think you credit winning the Big Ten West more than I do, which is fine.
I do think the Big Ten West was a more competitive, more competitive than the East, but it's been more competitive than it has been.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, definitely. Definitely, definitely. Yeah. I just think that the West is full of bad coaches, and so winning that is not a huge accomplishment.
Yeah. But again, we all thought it was going to be Wisconsin regardless.
You're right. So I probably am being a little disrespectful with that, a little downgrading it a little bit. So my six is James Franklin. Okay. I think James Franklin is in a similar place with Jim Harbaugh, where I think he is better than the sixth best coach in the Big Ten. I mean, he's the only coach that can consistently play to Ohio State's level, where literally every time they play, it feels like Ohio State's going to lose. And honestly, they should have lost a few of them last year and a couple other ones. There have been a couple last-minute drive kind of things, and so I think that matters. The reason why he's six for me is I just think he's a non-serious football coach. I think that, and I want to give some respect to the fact that the pandemic was really hard for him because he has an immunocompromised daughter. So two seasons ago, his family couldn't live with him because he was coaching football. I give mad respect for that. I want to clarify that. But the reason why I think he's a non-serious football coach, but also this is also why I think Penn State's going to be better in the next couple of years. I think he quit on Penn State. Ooh. I think that he thought he was going to get the USC job.
Mm.
And I think he quit on them. Mm. I think he'll be better for them because he didn't get the USC job. And now he signed that contract. I think he's going to lock back in. But I think he quit on them. And I think that matters for me. And I think if he hadn't quit on them, he would have made some different decisions, like the Will Levis decision, some coaching decisions in game, some little things with the offensive line. I think he would have done better. Because I think the last 2 years, Penn State has recruited like crazy.
Yeah, they've done well.
Quarterback, all this other kind of stuff. And they've done that before. I mean, they had Saquon Barkley. They had Micah Parsons, like all of these guys. First-round picks on the defensive line, different things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think he quit on them. I think that he – and I just want to be clear. I wouldn't want to live at State College, especially as a black man. Like, State College in Pennsylvania is nothing. Like, if you've never been there, you may not understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it is not great.
But I've been to Bowling Green, so I get what you mean by there's nothing. Like, yeah. I do – yeah.
It's worse, by the way.
Holy smokes, worse than nothing but corn?
Yeah, it's worse. Oh, wow. Listen, there are airports like multiple hours away.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't say it's a worse college town because, like, there may be better food there and little things like that. But, like, mm-hmm. getting there is miserable. It's not. It is not great. But, yeah, he would be higher if it was pure coaching. But I think mm-hmm. he quit on them, and I can't trust him as my coach. I think he's a really good coach. But I think he thought he was getting that USC job. I think mm-hmm. he thought somebody was calling for him, and he quit the last two seasons. I don't think Penn State's going to be exceptionally good this year because I don't think Sean Clifford's a good quarterback. But yeah, I think in the next couple of years, they're going to get back to who they should be. And I think it's because he gave up on the USC job because he didn't get it, and he's going to lock back in.
I do think he should have got it over what's his name, but yeah.
Ooh, now that's a conversation.
Yes, it is.
That's a conversation. Ooh.
I don't know. We'll get into that maybe next week, but I do think
we're going to have to write that down because I have opinions on that. But if I say it, we're at an hour and 15. If I say them, we're going 2 hours.
We're going to talk. We can talk
about that next week.
All right, my number six is PJ Fleck. I think he did a really good job. I think he could have probably done better.
He lost the bowling dream.
There you go. You would be top five, honestly. You'd be my top five if you didn't lose the Bowling Green. I will say that injuries were a bad thing for him because you lost your best player. You did. Yeah. Week one.
They lost three different running backs. It was week one. It was week one against Ohio State.
Ohio State, yep.
And then they lost their second and third string running back at different points in the season.
Yeah, so there's things that have been bad, and you still was competing for that West championship until the last week, I believe. The final week is when they lost out and they could. And then again, you beat your rival. Like, you played spoiler. You and was able to keep Wisconsin from winning the winning a division, and I have to commend you on that. So you could see that there's something there. There's going to be something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them competing. I think next year they should run away with the West.
I may be leaning towards that, honestly. Yeah. I need to wait until some of the preseason magazines come, because I just need to see some, like, roster things, stuff like fair. That.
Yeah.
But it would not surprise me at all. I can say, if I had to pick today, I think I'd I don't know, because Wisconsin has a running back again. So that's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
I would pick them first or second in the West. I really have to think about how much Wisconsin has a running back is going to affect everything. But I would pick them one or two for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a really good coach. He's proven that he can keep it up. It's just you lost to Bowling Green. Honestly, you can't do that.
You just can't.
Yeah, and that's and from last season was a really good season for them. They won their bowl game too, right? Yeah. I think so. So you won a bowl game as well. I just would have, if it wasn't for that Bowling Green loss, you'd be my number five, and I'd be talking about somebody else right now.
Yeah. 100%. My number five is Paul Crist. I'm kind of cheating because you said I could, because you said if I was the decision maker, I could change some things. Paul Crist is a really good coach. He can't bring his offense. He can't bring that offense to me. But like, if I could get him to like hire a legitimate offensive coordinator that's going to do something different, and I could keep his culture, his defense, his work ethic, all of that, his development. If I could keep all of those things and just give a modern offense. Yeah, I really like Paul Chris. I mean, how many times has Wisconsin won the Big Ten West? They're always there. And when they don't win it, they're number two. Very rarely are they not in the running. Very rarely is it more than a game out. And no, they haven't beat Ohio State, but multiple people haven't beat Ohio State. That not beating Ohio State can't be a stain on your resume for me, unless you're Michigan's coach, because that is your job. like that's literally your job to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, because so, you're supposed to be good and win that game.
Like, and you have Detroit. You're Michigan. You're not Wisconsin. Like, that's there's a lot of difference when it comes to recruiting and things like
that. Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
So that's that. So for me, Paul Chris is five. I really like him. I think he's a good coach. I just need to change his offense.
Yeah, no, I can't be mad at that at all. My number five is Mel Tucker. I do think Michigan State overperformed, at least from what I thought they would be. You beat Michigan. Were you in the game against Ohio State? For a half. Okay, so,
And then Ohio State ran away with it.
It was that game. Damn, you know what? I think they lost to the Spoilermakers, too.
They did. But, like, the Spoilermakers, like... You just can't play them when you're the number two team in the country.
Nope.
If they were the number four team in the country, they would have won. But they were number two.
They were number two. But this is – I have Mel Tucker – we're at five, right? Yeah, five. So I have Mel Tucker. I mean, here's the thing. You had a pullout win, a close win against Michigan. There was a – and that was a good one.
That was a really good game.
The Penn State Michigan State game was a really good game, and that was a close win for them. You won your bowl game, and my goodness, yeah, they were in that game for a half, and then Ohio State really just said, "Okay,
I'm tired of this."
Yeah, but like, you barely beat Indiana. You won only by five, and that was a terrible team. It really was. You beat the team that beat Ohio State. They lost to Ohio State. Lost to Miami, right?
No, they didn't play them.
They didn't play them? What game was that? Oregon.
Yeah, they lost to Oregon.
It was Oregon. Okay. So, but you got it seems like there's certain wins on here. It's just, it was a little scary, but they got a little better at the end of the year. But barely beating Nebraska is scary. Barely beating Indiana is kind of scary. But other than that, it's a good year. It's a good year. And I still think it was better than they were supposed to be. Because I didn't think they would beat. They were going to be better than Penn State, and they were. I didn't think – I mean, they're one win, and they're better than Michigan. One more extra win, and you're better than Michigan. So there's this things like that. I always thought Mel Tucker was a good coach. I think he's still getting a little overpaid, but I think most coaches are overpaid in college. Most coaches in college are overpaid, and they're big hypocrites. So that's just me. That's just a personal thing. But Mel Tucker at five is not. I'm not bad. I can't have them above everybody else here because they just did a better job with their teams than what Mel Tucker did, and that's my thing that I'm going off of. Who did the most of what they had, and I think Mel Tucker could have did more. He could have done more. Because
he could have won he could have done more. Just honestly.
Yeah.
My number four is Brett Bielema. I have a 30-second spiel on this. Okay. Brett Bielema is Paul Chris before Paul Chris.
Oh, I just like him better. Okay.
But same exact thing. He can't bring his offense.
But I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I don't know yet because that was year one. That was year one.
So this is why I say that.
Okay.
Brett Bielema established the Wisconsin culture. You may not remember that. But he established that, and then he got – his eyes were too big, and he went to Arkansas, and it didn't work. So he came back to the Big Ten. Paul Christ is running Brett Bielema's offense, which is why I say he can't bring that, because he's bringing the same offense that Paul Christ.
But I think Brett Bielema does a better job at running that offense than Paul Christ does.
He does, because he's basically the creator of it.
And they score a lot of points back then.
But
when he was at Wisconsin,
and I agree with that, you still can't bring that offense to my school.
Okay, all right.
But all the points you're making is why he's higher than Paul Christ, because he's Paul Christ but better.
Yeah, that's
essentially. Yeah. But you still can't bring that offense. But fair enough. I think he's a better culture builder. His teams are tougher. They fight harder. We saw that. Nobody wants to play Illinois at all. Because they're going to punch you in the mouth. You're going to feel it. They played a 5-overtime game where their starting quarterback broke his arm, and they still won. He's a dog. Mm-hmm. You just can't bring that offense. Sorry. it's 2022, bro. You got to change it.
Yeah, you gotta throw the ball a little bit more. Just a little bit. It's crazy. My number four is Jim Harbaugh. And the reason why I say Jim Harbaugh is like, He did win the Big Ten. He had a really good record. You beat your rival finally. And not only did you beat him, it was convincing. It was a convincing win.
It was so convincing. Ohio State fans were making excuses. Not me. Because I would never use weather as an excuse. That's some
shit. Oh, God, no. Not in Ohio. But, no, I'm sorry. You can't use weather as an excuse in Ohio. No.
You can't get that excuse from me. They got bitched. I'm just dead ass. Like, sorry. I'm sorry I had to cuss. We're going to have to give it an explicit rating, but they got bitched.
They did.
But
they did.
You beat them so bad that other Ohio State fans were making excuses.
Yeah, like it was when, especially in that game, is when Ohio State looked like they were going to finally turn. Because there was a point in time where I went, oh, dang, Michigan, you're going to do it again. You're going to blow this lead. And they said, no, we are not. And they
were going to blow the lead.
Yeah, and every time Ohio State scored, Michigan said, all right, we come right back. And it was with a run. And that's why you said they got bitched, because they ran down their throat. And I give them that. The reason why I don't have him higher on my list is when he brought out more from him team. You know what? I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to change this, because I just looked at my number three. My number three and number four. So now you're going to know my number four and I'm my number three.
I was actually surprised by that when I looked at your list. So I'm not surprised you changed.
But I'm going to change it now, because now I just started talking. Ryan Day is my number four, and now you know my number three. I just went on my number three spiel, so I won't talk about my number three. I'm going to talk about my number four, and it's Ryan Day. Ryan Day underperformed as a coach. With what he had last year, they had the best team in the Big Ten. They did. Even with Michigan having a really, really good team, I still believe Ohio State had the best team in the Big Ten. And in the certain games they lost convincingly. It wasn't like we almost had them type of thing. No. You got bitched in the three losses that you had.
It was only two.
It was two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's right. Because there was games where I'm going, you're getting bitched by teams you shouldn't get bitched by.
and they still won,
won, but there's like, this is looking concerning.
There was stretches where they got bitched by Tulsa.
Yep. Yep. So. And that was a close game, I think. That score was a close score.
Until like the fourth quarter. I think we ended up winning by more than 10, but it didn't feel like it.
It didn't feel like it. It just felt like Tulsa got tired. If anything, so that's why I'm sorry, guys. Like, yeah, Ryan Day's gonna be four, and then we know with Jim Harbaugh is my third. He still won and again, you lost to Michigan. It's been years, but you're one of the few Ohio State coaches to lose to Michigan, and you lost convincingly. You lost to Oregon, and that was convincingly. You struggled all year long, either on offense at some point, and then it flipped, and you struggled on defense. You weren't a cohesive team the entire year. Next year, sorry, Big Ten, they're going to be scary. But last year, this last season, he underperformed with what he had. I do give you, we've talked about it before. Their offensive coordinator was terrible, but you hired him. Yeah, and your defensive coordinator was. was even worse, and you hired him. Like, so that was something you made. That was a choice you made, but it, you still won 10 games or whatever, and you won your bowl game. So it was 11 games, something like that. Yeah. Yep. But
at the end of the day, if 10 games is underperforming, like, you, that's crazy.
For what you had, that was an underperformance.
So I disagree with the underperforming part, because I feel like with the defensive coaches and the defensive players they had, Ohio State has had a lot of misses in recruiting recently, that they were a 10-win team. Mm. They were soft. So I don't think they underperformed. Now,
well, okay, according to you, technically, they did, because you thought they were going undefeated. We both did.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to say, because it's nuanced. To their roster, they did not underperform. Their defensive roster is really, really bad. It just was. And it's going to be bad for a while. All of their best players on defense were freshmen. That should never happen at Ohio State. It just shouldn't. So to their roster, they didn't underperform. To the expectation of an Ohio State team, though, they did.
Yeah.
But to like, and it took me the whole season to realize it, because as much as I try to take the fan hat off, I am still a fan, and I glossed over some things that I thought would be better, and they just weren't. Like, I thought the offensive line thing was going to work, despite the fact that I know that there's a reason tackles don't play guard. True. And I've admitted that on the other podcast, that like, that was stupid. And the thing is, I remember saying, tackles don't play guard, but these tackles are really good. I think they'll make it work. I said that at the beginning of the season, and I was wrong. I should not have thought that, because there's a reason tackles don't play guard, and that's why the offensive line coach got fired. So I don't think they got, I don't think they underperformed to their roster, because I also think, and I really hate playing revisionist history, but I think it's true. The CJ Stroud at the end of the season, if he would have played Oregon, they would have won, but it was his like third game. And so he, there were some plays in that game, despite how bad the defense was, there were some plays in that game that, like, if an older quarterback was there, like if Justin Fields were there, they still have won.
There was, I don't know, because there was plays that were picked that made me question if Ohio State even wanted to beat Oregon. So I still don't know.
No, that's fine. But you got to remember, up until late in the fourth quarter, there were Ohio State had it was either three or four. I know for a fact it was three. There were three drives in a row that Ohio State could have taken the lead, because if you remember, in the second half, their defense started playing good. Three drives in a row that Ohio State should have taken the lead, but I think his freshman quarterback in him came out of him, because and then he didn't play the next game. That next game was Akron. So the Oregon game was closer than people remember. Yeah. But even still,
the score was closer. The score was closer. But when you watch that game, you're going, Ohio State could really get blown out right now.
Yes, right. That's true. But what I'm saying is, with a veteran quarterback, they could have. It could have been like the Tulsa game where they got bits but still won.
Okay,
is what I'm saying.
They still got hoed. By the same play, the exact same play over and over.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
that was a big problem.
I just don't think they underperformed to their roster. I think that is what I think they had a 10-win roster.
I think, but the thing is, I've seen Ohio State have these kind of iffy rosters and still go undefeated. So that's why I think even then, they still kind of underperformed.
That's interesting. I don't think Ohio State's had a roster, especially on defense, this bad in a while. Because they also, not only were they bad, they were young. Like, except for their wide receivers, all of their good performers were freshmen.
Yeah.
Quarterback, freshman.
I give you that.
Running back, freshman. Two young guys in the offensive line. Their three best defensive linemen were freshmen. Their best cornerback was a freshman. Their best safety had never started before. Like, they were a really, really young team. And I think people, myself included, underrated how that was going to affect them.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Which is why I just say I don't think they underperformed to their roster. Mm-hmm. Underperformed to their roster. So. Okay. We're at an hour and a half, so we need to get this done in 15 minutes. So let's go through it. My number three is PJ Fleck. I love PJ Fleck. I think he's a great coach. There are not many coaches in the country who could get Minnesota to win 11 games in 1 year and then win 9 games 2 years later coming out of the pandemic. Yes, there are some flaws losing to Bowling Green, but Minnesota is not an easy place to win. They're not. No. And, you know, people don't think about the MAC and stuff like that. But he went 12-0 in the MAC, including beating Big Ten teams. Yeah. They were the lower level Big Ten teams, but they still won. They went 12-0. He's a really good coach. People think that his row the boat thing is annoying, which is fine, but it's not a stick. Like, or how have you said
it? I mean, at least a shtick, yeah. But his teams believe in it.
Which is why it's not like that love on each other, the Indiana thing is a shtick. Yeah. That role, like, that is Gene, that is him through and through. And his teams believe in everything. I heard is he's a good guy. I mean, he literally, his starting quarterback is a guy who was committed to him at Western Michigan. And instead of getting too big for his britches and saying, oh, I went from Western Michigan to Minnesota, I need a better quarterback, he stuck with him. He said, you can play with me at Western Michigan, you can play with me at Minnesota. That is some loyalty that doesn't happen.
That's coaching. That's coaching right there. So
I am a very big fan of him. And I think he's, not only is he 3 on my list for someone I want, I think pure talent wise, he's probably top 5 just in general as coach in the Big Ten. Like, Jim Harbaugh would have to jump back in the top 5. So would James Franklin, just pure coaching. But he's like 5 or 6. He's up there. I think he's a really good coach. And I think that, especially if they have better injury luck, I think I agree with you. Unless Wisconsin is just the Wisconsin that just blows through everyone, which is just possible.
It is.
They're going to be 1 or 2 in the West. I'll just say that.
Yeah. We did my 3 because I thought he was 4, and then I thought about it. So we know my 3, Jim Harbaugh. We can keep going.
All right, so my 2 is Mel Tucker, and I love Mel Tucker, bro. Mel Tucker is like I want to invite Mel Tucker to my cookout. Like, I want to invite him to my family reunion. Like, take away everything, because these are just guys I want to coach my team. Take away everything. Take away the X's and O's. He's a good dude, and good dudes are hard to find. Like, it just looks like he coaches, smokes cigars, and hangs out with his family. Like, he just feels like he feels like an uncle, bro. Like, he feels like an uncle.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, so, I'm not mad at that.
Aside from the fact that I just really think he's a good dude and I like his personality, I think he's a really good coach. I think he's really smart. I mean, the way he utilized the transfer portal to get people like Kenny Walker and things like that, so his team was a year ahead. But then he didn't take a crazy amount of transfers this year because he knew that the transfer portal was a one-year thing. He said, I need to get in some guys, but I need to develop my own. He didn't go too crazy with it. Like, I think he has his head on his shoulders. I think he's smart. He's tough. Even 2 years ago when Michigan State was losing, They were a team like what Illinois was last year where you didn't want to play him. I don't think they win 11 games this year. I just think that's hard to sustain. But I think he's going to bring Michigan State back where you expect them to win 8 games every year. And there are some that they're going to win 9, 10, 11. And oh my God, watch out. If and when the Big Ten gets rid of divisions, watch out. We're going to get some Ohio State, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Big Ten championship games.
And that's one thing people have been wanting this entire time, really. Like, if you're thinking those games were the Big Ten championship games most of the time. So I'm not mad at that. I get why you would want him to be your coach. Honestly, if I was really, I thought he would be your number one, really, but I think the fan in you just couldn't let. I think the fan in you just couldn't let number one not be who he is. But
so to answer your accusation of the fan in me, the reason why he's not my number one, because he very much could be, is at this point in their career, because I can only speak at this point, point in their career, obviously, because I haven't mentioned him, I think Ryan Day is a better coach. But also, my heart says defense. My heart says defense. I think Mel Tucker is a great defensive coach. But my brain says you need offense to win.
Yes,
and
that's fair.
Ryan Day, to me, is a top 3 offensive coach in the nation.
Okay.
So it's not just the fan thing. If we're talking personality, if we're talking cool, like all that kind of stuff, it's Mel Tucker every day. Like, I don't really want to have a drink with Ryan Day. Great coach.
Not even a little bit.
Not I want to have a drink and a cigar with Mel Tucker sitting on the porch playing some 2000s rap, R&B, all that. I want to do that. But unfortunately, the way the sport's going right now, good offense beats great defense.
Yeah.
What we saw last year from Georgia is not the norm. It's not going to stay that way. And so that's why I have Ryan Day number one, because I do genuinely like, also Ryan Day is also a really good dude. He may not be the coolest person in the world, but he's a really good dude. And I really, really love the stuff that he's doing with mental health. Like,
okay.
Like what he did with his player that wanted to commit suicide, and he has a campaign against mental health. He's talked about his own mental health. Like, I think that stuff is really important right now. And that's fair. Now that he's getting into his third, fourth, fifth season, he's starting to separate himself from Urban Meyer, and like we're really starting to learn who Ryan Day is. But ultimately, I love Mel Tucker. So the ultimate thing is good offense beats great defense. So Ryan Day is my number one.
My number two is Brett Bielema. I've talked about him before. I've raved about him before, and I think he got the most out of this Illinois team that any of the coaches on this list could have gotten. Like, I think he got the most out of them. They were the most surprising team, I think, out of the Big Ten. I thought Illinois would be what Indiana was, and not even close. Because I need to make sure I got the scores right. But Illinois, you beat Penn State in a hard fought game, and every game just about you're almost in it. Besides Wisconsin, but you're almost in it. You're one touchdown away from beating Illinois. You beat Minnesota. You beat Northwestern. You weren't that far behind against Iowa. Honestly, better team, you beat Iowa regardless. Like, I think one more year. If this was next year, you would have beat that Iowa team.
For sure, for sure.
With ease.
And when did they play Iowa? Was it after Penn
State? It was after Minnesota.
But was it after Penn State?
No. There was a few weeks in there.
They and that's still why their quarterback then. I was just wondering if it was after they lost their quarterback for the season.
No, it was after. Yeah. The Penn State game was before the Illinois game, but by a few weeks.
The Penn State game was before the Iowa game?
Yes.
Right. So if they had their starting quarterback maybe they would be Iowa too. Yeah. Because you lost your starting quarterback. Mm-hmm.
And Purdue was like most of the time putting up 30 something points, you kept them to 13. Like you,
great defense.
Yeah, great. You beat Nebraska. They were ahead of schedule, like we said. And I think that's mostly on him. Like not mostly, but yeah,
it's 100% on him.
Yeah, he did the most with that team where no one thought. I kept saying it all year before the season started. I was like, the sneaky pick is always going to be Illinois. That's going to be a scary team to go against. And it was because of him.
For sure. So I already said my number one, Ryan Day. So who's your number one?
My number one is Jeff Brohm. Because, again, I'm going off of base of last year. No one expected the Purdue to do what they did. And they were ranked both of the year. I think their highest ranking was 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They were ranked 2. Two in the nation at one point. You got a nickname. I don't know if everybody else was calling them that, but I know I was calling them the Spoiler Makers most of the time. If you were number 2 in the Big Ten, you were losing to Purdue.
Yeah.
Iowa lost. Michigan State lost.
Don't come in with that number 2 ranking.
it was so crazy that at one point when they had to play Ohio State, everybody was going, dang, you're ranked number 2. I don't know.
Literally remember saying, I hope Ohio State's not number 2 when they play.
Yeah.
Anything but number 2.
Don't be number 2. And I think he from last year, he probably did the most with his. Because, again, you couldn't run the ball to save your life.
Mm-mm.
But you were still putting up 40 points. Somehow. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback's putting up 400, 500 yards a game. Your wide receiver's getting 200-something yards a game with three touchdowns. Yeah. Like, if honestly, you probably would have beat Ohio State if you could run the ball. Like,
I mean, no, Ohio State blew them out from jump.
They did blow them out. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But, yeah, it was just – it probably would have been better if you could run the ball and play a little bit of defense. But
because Ohio State just sold out for the pass.
Yeah, but for a team that couldn't run the ball and was in a defense to be at some point ranked number two and beat two ranked number two teams in your season, you did the most, I think, in the Big Ten with what you had. And that's why he was in my number one.
Easily. Yeah. All right, so that's it. We had some other things, but definitely we underestimated. definitely. I knew this was going to take the large majority of the show. The other things I expected. And actually, there's only one other thing, and you didn't put your thing, so we can talk about that next week. We talked about everything else in the show plan. We just changed the order because we already talked about the NBA playoffs. Speaking of, there's 3 minutes left. It looks like Boston's going to win this game, which sucks. I was rooting for the Heat. But
I was rooting for the Heat because I'm a Lakers fan, so fuck Boston.
Yeah. So we'll make our pit stops really, really quickly. All I want to say is I'm tired of people saying that men can't have fruity drinks, that you can't drink Long Island, you can't have margaritas.
Some of the strongest drinks on the
literally. Stop with all the hyper-masculinity, all that other kind of stuff. Like, if I want a Long Island, I want a Long Island.
I order my Long Island loud. I yell those. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I want a Long Island.
So if anyone's wondering where this came from, I saw a video on TikTok about it, but also this is a very common thing, especially amongst women with men. And I'm sorry, like, first of all, I love bourbon and whiskey, but I don't always want a Jack and Coke. Sometimes I want a pineapple margarita.
Ooh.
Like, what are you talking about? Speaking of, if you've never thought about this, because I just thought about it recently, most restaurants have real pineapple juice because it's a regular thing. So I don't order their margaritas, their flavored margaritas, because a lot of times they use syrup. I ask for a regular margarita with real pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice.
So they don't give me no syrup. And you can get that at almost any restaurant in Columbus.
Bet I will. I'll remember that next time.
So that's mine. What is what's your pit stop?
My pit stop is just saying that the Lakers hired a new coach. I forgot his first name, but his last name is Ham. I still don't think it's going to matter much. I think it'll matter next year when we don't have Westbrook on the team or on the books. But it doesn't look like we can trade him away because I don't think anybody wants that contract after seeing what he produced last year. I don't think it's still going to matter much. I think we might win 34 games instead of 33. But other than that, I don't think anything else.
I disagree slightly. Okay. First of all, I think I understand that Frank Vogel lost the locker room, whatever. I think Frank Vogel was a punching bag, and the Lakers organization never supported him. But I do really like this guy from everything I've heard and what he's done in defense, all that good stuff, being a former player, like all that. And not only is he a former player, he's been an assistant coach for 11 years. So he's really he's really like planted the seed and like earned this potential. I think that potentially the reason why I disagree, I think it matters in the fact that with him as the coach, they maybe make the play-in. Not that they're championship caliber, but maybe they get a couple wins out of there.
The reason why I don't think they make the plan is because, again, of the books. Like, how much money we have on the books with just three players. And you can't afford to bring in young players because they're going to want more money. You need young players that have energy to play defense. And when you can't afford that, you're going to be giving out one-year veteran contracts again like you just did to old people who don't play defense anymore because they're old. Our problem last year wasn't offense. There was only one problem on offense, and it was really Westbrook. Everything else, our biggest problem was defense. And it doesn't matter who the coach is. You can't get old players to play defense for a full game. You might get it for a quarter. But you're not getting it for a full game, and that's why I think it's still going to be the exact same problem.
So the one thing, and I'm not predicting this because I don't know that much about him, but the one thing that I'll be watching is he has a stellar reputation with developing players. And so
it'll be interesting. Who are we developing?
Huh?
Who are we going to develop? Again, we can't afford besides Austin Reeves, and I think he was overrated.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, okay, think about the Heat right now. The uh-huh. Heat are where they're at because they developed a whole bunch of undrafted guys.
So you're thinking long term.
I'm thinking long term, but I'm also thinking next year because if he can develop, what is his name?
THT.
Yeah, if he can make THT more valuable, I'm not saying he has to be great, but if he can make him better than he was, the hype that people thought, Austin Reeves, if he can make him better, more consistent, like those types of guys who aren't doing a lot, but if Kendrick Nunn ever decides to play and he can develop him, those are guys that can get you quality minutes that takes a game from a blowout to a 5-point game that then lets a healthy LeBron or AD win it in the fourth quarter. That's what the Heat's doing.
But now we're also thinking about the healthy LeBron and healthy AD is an if now. It is. It is.
And I get that. But what I'm saying, if THT is better, if Kendrick Nunn is playing is better, and if Austin Reeves is playing and is better, and he actually develops them because he gets a lot of credit for developing like Chris Middleton and some of those guys in the Bucks organization, that makes the overall team better, which can get you 2, 3, 4, or 5 wins that would have put them in the play-in. I'm not saying they're going to the championship. I just think if his resume is what they're saying it is, he may be able to get more out of some of the non-stars, which ultimately will help a little bit.
See, you think they might make the play-in, right? So out of the teams that made the playoffs this year and the play-in, you think there'll be – there's Phoenix, Dallas, Golden State, you have – New Orleans, you have Minnesota, you have
New Orleans,
Memphis. You sure about that? Zion might come back. And now without Zion, they made the play-in.
They were better than us. Zion.
They were, but again, so without Zion, they were still better than us. So that's what I'm saying.
Right. That's my point.
And now you got to remember.
Worse.
I don't know. Then you got to remember Paul George and Kawhi come back. Then you got to remember what Portland might do. Damian Lillard's going to be playing next year. But my thing is, Damian Lillard on that team gives them more wins than what they had. And then they had that young dude keeping them afloat for a second there. So it's just like, my thing is, in the West, it's hard. It's hard for me to believe they'll make the play-in. Because the only team I think they're better than is the Kings. That's it. And that was the only team they were better than.
Yeah, that's your fan hatred right there. That's because I understand where you're coming from, and you can't predict health, but you're underrating some of the other factors for why they were bad. Like,
who?
Anthony Davis played 40 games. And no matter how you feel about him, he's never played less than that before. That's a substantial answer. There are things that you are not. I'm not saying he's going to play 80. I'm not saying because he's not. He's not.
He's not going to play 60. Like, let's just be real. He's not.
Okay.
I think the older you get, the worse injuries become more apparent.
But if he plays 55, that's a couple more wins that get them in the play-in.
Is it?
Yes. It is.
Anthony
Davis is really good. Stop, Dante. We can't do this right now.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. Our defense was so bad. That was our biggest problem, is because we had old players trying to play defense against those young guys. Because, again, everybody in the West is young besides the Lakers.
Which is why you need to get some of your young guys to be able to play defense.
We only got 3 young guys. And I don't think Taylor Tucker is ever going to be able to play defense. I just don't.
I mean, we're running long. We don't have to get stuck on this. I'm not saying they're going to be great. I'm just saying the resume that he's bringing in and how people are talking about him,
I think he can be
an upgrade.
That's fair.
And also, I just don't think, I mean, knock on wood, I don't think the Lakers' injury luck can be as bad as it was last year. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that. Like, again, they were not a championship team. And if that's what you're expecting, you're also, always going to be disappointed. Also, but I think their injury luck was worse
but my than thing is, people it's like,
are willing to admit.
But my thing was is that everything about Russell Westbrook being brought to our team was supposed to negate the fact that you brought up injuries, because he was supposed to be there to keep us afloat while injuries were happening. That's why I ignore a lot of trust me. I knew that made zero sense.
Okay.
My thing was,
you went right there. We knew that wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, like I knew that was dumb, but that was the whole reason why we brought him there. So that's why people bring up injuries, especially Lakers fans who've said that, when you bring up injuries, I ignore you, because he was brought there to ignore that.
Nah. All right. Thank y'all for listening to I-70. Thank y'all for traveling I-70 with us. We appreciate it. Thank you for staying for a longer podcast than normal, even though we always go long. Please let us know how you feel about our coach rankings. If you are able to keep up with the different way that we did it, let us know who's right, who's wrong. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. Dante, what's your Twitter?
Oh, fuck. Dante M 10216.
Thanks, and catch y'all next week.